Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are watching from. This is the Passion Word Podcast, coming to you live with the Word of God in all simplicity and in truth. For the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and by the hearing of the Word of God. And I'd like to thank the Holy Spirit for giving me such a wonderful opportunity to preach the Word of God, to expand His kingdom, you know, to the ends of the earth. You know, this is a very special time in the Spirit. You know, the Passion Word Podcast was not by my orchestration, but by the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. And before I jump into today's discussion, I'd like to open in prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your kindness. You're the only sovereign God, the everlasting King. You're the King of glory. We magnify you. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for the Passion Word Podcast. Our hearts and our minds are open to receive what you have in store for us. Indeed, faith comes by hearing, and by the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so we're gonna jump right in to this discussion. So in the Passion Word Podcast, we'll have different seasons. And when the Lord told me to start this podcast, He wanted me to talk to people about the end time. Because many people are scared. They have fear in their hearts of how it's going to be. And I don't blame them, you know, especially when the book of Revelation, it talks about, you know, the different seals, what's going to happen. You know, of course, people are going to be scared. But I don't want you to be scared, you know. Rapture is coming. And of course, don't be scared about the rapture. You know, many people, now one of the fears about rapture for them is that, what if I get left behind? Oh no, I might be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. No. Don't think that way. All right? And hopefully through this discussion, I will, of course, turn your fear into faith and cause you to be excited of what is coming. Glory to God. So this is season one, and this season is rapture. Now, this episode is based on what is rapture? What is rapture, you may ask? Well, let me show it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, the AMP. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, okay, let me read from verse 16. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 16 to 17. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and the earth and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain on the earth will simultaneously be caught up, raptured together with them, the resurrected ones, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. I like what verse 18 says. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words concerning our reunion with believers who have died. So you see, this message is given to you for your comfort. You see, it is meant to make you feel comfortable, not to give you fear. My brothers and sisters in Christ, don't fear of what is going to come. Glory to God. Rapture. Now, what is rapture? Rapture is the event that will take place where those who are alive and in Christ will be taken up to see and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the rapture. It is known to be a glorious event, not an escape. You know, many people think when it comes to rapture, rapture is an escape of the great tribulation. But no, it's a glory. Because Christ is coming for a church without spots, without wrinkles, without blemish or any such thing. And we are that church, a church without any spots, wrinkles or blemish. Of course, it's not talking about like your body, how your body has scars, how your body has, you know, like your face maybe it has wrinkles or acne. No. When it talks about blemish or such things, it means that you are not that type of Christian who claims to be a Christian but decides to live his life or her life for themselves and not for Christ. You see, that's what it refers to. Okay? So, look at where it says, caught up together with them. Now, the chief biblical source of the doctrine of the rapture is the catching away to heaven of those dead or alive who have trusted in Christ and await his return. My brothers and sisters, the exact word rapture does not occur in scripture. As you know, before it was translated into English, scripture was given in the Hebrew language, the Aramaic language, the Greek language. So in those original scripts, there was no such thing as the word rapture there, you see. So now, where did rapture come from? Well, it was formed from a word in the Latin translation of the Bible. That's how it came about, you see. So I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 3. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 12. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 3 to 12 gives the additional information that a great rebellion by humankind against God's authority and the emergence of the man of sin will precede the return of the Lord. Okay? So let's read it. So now I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. And just to let you know, every scripture that will be read will be from the New King James Version so that we can be able to accommodate those who do not know the scripture very well. Glory to God, because King James can be rather a complicated version of the Bible, you know, with the ye's, your thou's, glory to God. Yes, let's start reading from verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this talks about the devil. Glory to God. Now, the rapture, the end times will not happen until the signs take place. Now, what are those signs? Signs given by the Lord Jesus, and signs given in the book of Hebrews, and signs given in the book of Revelation. Glory to God. So those signs have to come to pass before the end time can occur. Glory to God. So that's what it says. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this talks about the Antichrist, how the Antichrist will try by all means to be God. So during the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the second half of the 7-year tribulation, the last part of the 3.5 years, when the Antichrist already rebuilt the temple, he will stay in that temple and he will want to play God. Because remember, from the beginning, Lucifer wanted to be God. Because Lucifer was the archangel. He was the main angel, you know. And then because of the pride, you know, he decided to become rebellious and overtake the throne of God. And then he was struck from heaven to hell and given the name Satan, the son of perdition. So all Satan wanted to be when he was Lucifer, he wanted to be God. And that's what the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to play God. He wants to be God. You see. Verse 5. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Verse 6. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So now there's a time where the Antichrist will do all these things. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one in verse 9 is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So that means, you know, he will be a deception. See, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. How sad indeed. Verse 11, for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. The lie of who? The lie of the devil. Verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How sad. Now let's jump right back on course. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read from verse 51 to verse 53. Yes. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. Like, let me quickly jump off the wagon. Let me step out of the box. Have you ever had those moments when you, like, had those thoughts? How would it feel if you were in heaven? How would heaven be? No? How would heaven be? You know, I was meditating this one evening. I think it was around 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. So I was just meditating on the rapture of the church, how it would feel like. You know, would it be like a dream? Like, you know, for example, how this life is like a dream and then you wake up and then you're in heaven. Will it be when, like, you, like how you are looking at your screen or at something else right now? Maybe you're driving and then one blink, you're already in heaven. You know, and then most importantly, I also had this thought, you know, like, let's say if we're in heaven and then we move to the new earth. Of course, I'll explain this in the next seasons, all right? And then we move to the new earth. And then, of course, in the new earth, we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever, for all eternity. Have you ever wondered how eternity feels like? How does it feel? Because when we were created, all right, we were designed and created for an end. And that end is rapture, of course, because that's the end of the world. But now, in the second earth, there is eternity. There's no end. So I was trying to picture how forever will feel like. And my mind couldn't even go that far, because our brains were designed to know an end. To know an end. So of course, you know, in such things, like, your mind cannot even go that far. So the fact that your mind cannot go that far is the reason why we will receive glorified bodies. How verse 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Because how can the mortal body think of immortality? Just like how the immortal body cannot picture mortality. Mortal bodies focus mortality, and immortal bodies focus on immortality. That is why we will be given new glorified bodies. Praise the living God. How amazing. So God made known to Paul that the dead will be raised by instantaneous transformation at the last trumpet. Glory to God. The last trumpet. You see, trumpets were used to call God's people together, you know. And you will find, and of course, you can read more on that in Numbers chapter 10 from verse 1 to 10. And at royal coronations in presenting kings to Israel. And you can also further read that in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 34. Moreover, this transformation will happen to the living as well as to the dead. Praise the living God. You know, the trumpet has to happen. The trumpet has to sound. Now, listen and listen very carefully. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we hear the last trumpet, we will hear by faith. Okay? So the fact that you will hear the trumpet, rejoice when that happens, because that means you will be raptured. Those who will not hear the trumpet are the ones who will be left behind. And that's the scary part. Praise the living God. But I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this to bring you in awareness. Okay? Are you living your life for Him? If you are, that's all that matters. God only sees what's in your heart. If you truly love God, then God will accept you. You see? Like, for example, a parent will not accept a stranger into their house unless that person that he accepts is their own child. That is why you ought to also be born again. But now remember, children can also be disowned. You know, it's just like how Jesus told a parable of the prodigal son, how he went to do his own things, but he came back to his father's house and his father welcomed him with open arms. Now you may be a listener who's a backslidden Christian as well. And by the grace of God, you're listening to this podcast. This is the Lord calling you back. You are that prodigal son that he's been waiting for. It's time to go back to him. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 52 again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Now, the word moment in verse 52 comes from the Greek word atomos, which means uncut, indivisible, undissected, infinitely small. Okay? The word is a comparison of atomic. That's where atomic bomb comes from. And if you know what an atomic bomb is that small thing that can cause such a great explosion, great destruction. You see, and as soon as it touches the ground, immediately explosion occurs. It just happens. Glory to God. So when used of time, it represents an extremely short unit of time, a flash, an instant, a unit of time that cannot be divided. Glory to God. You know, a second. Think of a second. A second can be calibrated to 1/10, 1/100, 1/1000th of a second. But how do you calibrate an atomic second? Christ's return will be in an atomic second. In fact, even lesser than that. Why? Because God is not limited by time. Praise God. The Bible says we will not know the time nor the hour of his coming. and in a twinkling of an eye, meaning, you know how like how quick you blink? You know, when you blink, you see that muscle, you can't even feel yourself blinking. You just know that you're blinking. It will be faster than that. You know, meaning you won't have time to think. You won't even have time to react. That's how quick rapture will happen. We are living in a new revelation given by the Holy Spirit to John as well as Paul concerning the resurrection, which is, in other words, the rapture. At the time of the resurrection, the rapture, many Christians will be alive. They will be alive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 9. Glory to God. Yes. Read from verse 9 to 10. It says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." How amazing. How amazing indeed. You see, for God did not appoint us to wrath. You know, we serve what is called a merciful God, my brothers and sisters. We serve a merciful God, a kind God. You know, we don't serve a God that is that is unjust. He's not an unjust God. Many people, when they read about Revelation, you know, they say, "Oh, God is so unfair." May I just elaborate on something like this? God does not have to be fair. Now, it may come as a shock for you. God does not have to be fair. But what the Bible says he is just. There's nowhere in the Bible, you look further. There's nowhere in the Bible where the Bible says he is fair. No. The Bible says he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. Meaning, okay, look at person A and person B. Person A is a Christian but lives a life of poverty. And person B is a devil worshipper or a worldly person, but lives a life of wealth. You see? But now when it comes to the end, you find that person A is raptured and person B is left behind. And then person A is chilling with the Lord Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb, whereas person B is fighting for his life. And then he accepts the mark of the beast. And then you find that person A judges person B. And then person B is thrown into the lake of fire. Now you tell me, would you say that is the act of fairness? Or that's the act of just? He's a just God. Just trust in him. You know, just trust in him. Just be faithful. Yes, you may not understand what is happening. Even the Lord Jesus said, "You may not understand it now, but later you will." Later you will. Glory to God. Okay, let me say this. Okay? You do not have to understand God, but remain faithful in him. Because when you are faithful, only then will you understand what he's doing in your life. Remember, his thoughts are not your thoughts. Glory to God. You may not understand what God is thinking at that moment. But as soon as things happen, 1, 2, and 3, in these kinds of ways, only then will you understand why the Lord is doing it. Glory to God. So just remain faithful in him. Look at verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right. Verse 9. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Now that means live together with him for all eternity. Wherever he goes, we go. Praise God. I love verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also, just as you also are doing. Now, this is what I'm doing for you. I am comforting you with this message. Glory to God. Do not fear the rapture. Rather, be expectant of the rapture. Yes, it sounds scary. But when you look at it from a different point of view, many people think that, you know, wow, oh, I don't want rapture to happen now because I want to get married. I want to start a family. Who says you won't do that in the second earth? Who told you that? We'll talk more about that in the next seasons. Glory to God. But don't have fear. Be expectant. Be excited. Glory to God. Be excited. Be excited. Praise the living God. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. You know, salvation is threefold. Salvation is personal. Life is spiritual. So salvation is threefold. You know, past, present, and future. We were saved. And that is justification. When we first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being saved. That is sanctification. As the Holy Spirit continues to work in us. That's number two. Number three. And we will yet be saved. And that is glorification. As we share in the Lord's final triumph. So you get justification, sanctification, and glorification. You know, when we were being saved, that's when we received Jesus Christ into our lives. That was justification. And then when we are being saved, now, of course, now when you're a Christian and then you are still sinning, you know, and then that type of sin, now you feel bad, you repent for all that you've done, you know, now that is when you receive, you know, forgiveness. And that is sanctification. Now that's when the Holy Spirit works in you, you know, helps you live the God kind of life in this earth, in this day and age. And then that's when you get yet to be saved, the glorification. Now we are yet to be saved. And the only time we will be saved is at the rapture of the church, you know, as we share the Lord's final triumph. Now, what do you mean that's when we will truly be saved? Because remember, people can lose their salvation. That is why you have what is called lukewarm Christians. Because lukewarm Christians have lost their salvation. That's what you call backslidden Christians. And backslidden Christians, according to the Bible, will be left behind. That's what the lukewarm Christians will do. And those lukewarm Christians will be witnesses of the great tribulation. Glory to God. But when we are raptured and when we are with the Lord in the air, that's when we'll truly experience glorification. Hallelujah. So we already went through justification. And till today, we are going through what is called sanctification. And we are yet to see and experience glorification. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The true end of the return of Jesus is that Christians, living or dead, should live together with him and always be with the Lord. And that is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Such knowledge gives true comfort, and I hope it's giving you that same comfort, my brothers and sisters. Remember this, good deeds won't get you raptured. Your love for Jesus Christ will get you raptured. You living your life for him will get you raptured. So don't be scared. You know, many people think that, oh, if I live a sinless life, I'll go to heaven. Remember, all have fallen short to the glory of God. That is why we are not longer saved by law, but under grace. That is why we have an advocate with the Father, that if we have to sin, we have a defense lawyer. And then Jesus fights on our behalf. That is why he looks at our heart. Because the heart is the most vital thing to him. Because your heart represents your spirit. Is your spirit pure for him? Glory to God. So deeds won't get you to heaven. No, 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 no. Your faith in Christ Jesus. Confession that the Lord Jesus died and after 3 days he raised from the dead. When you believe and when you confess that with your mouth, only then will you be saved. Only then will you go through sanctification. And only then will you experience glorification. So you have to go through justification to go through sanctification. And you have to go through sanctification to go through glorification. That's the only way. But of course, these things work together. Hallelujah. On the other hand, the evil will be forever banished from the presence of the Lord. And that is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. And of course, let me quickly read that for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." He delivers us from the wrath to come. He's delivering us from the punishment. Glory to God. So in the next seasons, I'll emphasize on the judgment of God. Because there are two judgments that are going to take place. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. But of course, you will know more about it in the coming seasons. Praise the living God. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. You know, it was, yes, Ezekiel, Daniel, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. These amazing prophets of God emphasized more on the soon coming age. And of course, in the next seasons that are coming, I will analyze those books for you, you know, on what the prophets had to say about the incoming. And of course, in the upcoming seasons, I will also emphasize on the book of Revelations for you. And because of time, I'll have to rush to this. I have about four scriptures, and then we will close this beautiful episode. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Now, pay attention to Son of Man. Son of Man was Jesus' favorite self-designation. Hence, Daniel's dream is in part messianic, announcing that the Messiah's coming will inaugurate a new phase of God's rule on earth. You see, Christ did this by bringing the kingdom of God into human experience, according to verse 18. Now, what does verse 18 say? It says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And we are the saints of the Most High, and we shall receive this kingdom and possess this kingdom forever." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, we are possessors of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. That's who we are. In Christ Jesus. Remember, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are seed of Abraham. And the Bible, and then Abraham was called the possessor of heaven and earth, and we are his seed. Hence, we also are possessors of heaven and earth. And of course, I will elaborate on that, but right now is not the time. Glory to God. So Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Now when he had spoken these things now this talks about Jesus, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, this talks about Jesus ascending in heaven. So now, this was actually the rapture of Jesus. But now, this kind of rapture, it didn't happen in a twinkling of an eye. It happened slowly, so that his disciples, the soon appointed apostles, could see him and truly see that he was truly the Son of God. Glory to God. How amazing. Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. Look at what it says. Oh, yes. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. Now, this is a different kind of rapture. So now this talks about, there are two types of raptures I want you to know. The first rapture and the second rapture. The first rapture is known to be the rapture of the church. The second rapture is the second coming of Christ. Okay. Now, the second rapture has to happen because the witnesses of the Great Tribulation are actually the backslidden Christians, those who departed from the faith, the natural man and the carnal man. Glory to God. So these are the witnesses of the Great Tribulation. The witnesses of the Great Tribulation will be raptured at the very conclusion of the Great Tribulation. So they won't be there to witness the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon will be against Jesus, will be Jesus and his army versus Satan and his army. Glory to God. It's a spiritual battle. So the witnesses of the Great Tribulation, they will be among the last of those included in the first resurrection of life, the rapture of the church. See, the rapture. Now let's look at the last book, John chapter 14, verse 3. Look at what it says. These are the words of Jesus. Let me read from verse 1 to 4. It's of John chapter 14. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I love verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Your heart may have been troubled. Let it not be troubled anymore. Glory to God. You believe in Jesus Christ, you will be raptured. Just stay in the faith and live your life for him. Glory to God. And in heaven, there are many mansions. Jesus didn't say there are houses. Jesus didn't say there are rooms, apartments. No, they said mansions. So let's do an exercise right now. Close your eyes. Picture your dream mansion. Picture that dream house of yours. That mansion that will be in heaven that Jesus was referring to will be way better than what your mind is imagining right now. Way better. Glory to God. So he's going to prepare our mansions for us. And then when the mansions is prepared, then only then will he come back to collect us, you know, the rapture. That's when the rapture will happen, when he has prepared a place for us. But of course, in the appointed time, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now this proclaims the first mention of the rapture of the church. Jesus is preparing our places for when rapture takes place. You do not want to be here in the Great Tribulation. You do not want to be left behind. And I don't want you to be left behind. Therefore, I want to lead you in the prayer of salvation. If you have not been born again, if you haven't received Jesus Christ into your life, right now is your opportunity. Say this prayer after me and mean it from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead, and he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm now a child of God, and I am now born again. Amen. If you've said that prayer, I want you to know that God heard you and he answered you. And my prayer for you is that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. I bless you with his love, with his mercy. I bless you with the Holy Spirit right now. and receive the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and continue to walk in the light of God's word from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, this was episode one. This is season one, episode one of the Passion Word podcast, the rapture season. Glory to God. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Next week, we'll do the prophecy of the rapture. Glory to God. You do not want to miss it for anything. But technically, it's not going to be like the prophecy of the rapture, more like the prophecy of the end times. But it will still be rapture-based. Glory to God. But further communication will be given. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. And I hope you learned a lot. Enjoy the rest of your week. God bless you.